MacCast, Friday, April 1st, 2005. The MacCast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If you're looking for a podcast related to technology, you'll find it at techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's here. Hey, Mac Geeks, it's time for the MacCast, the show for Mac Geeks by Mac Geek. I'm Adam, and this is a show where we discuss all things Macintosh. All right, so my little April Fool's joke on everybody is that I'm actually putting this out on April 2nd, even though it's the April 1st show. So you may be noticing everything's related to April 1st, and you might not have received this till April 2nd. That's what's going on. Basically, got really busy, and it was really late Friday night, and I just was way too tired to be recording a show. It would not have been up to the normal quality level that I require for myself. So I don't think you would have appreciated it, and I certainly wouldn't have enjoyed putting it out there. So here we are. We're back. It is late Saturday night, and let's get on with the show. So happy birthday to Apple. Apple is now 29 years old. Hey, it's not really shown its age, is it? Actually, that's not a joke. It's not an April Fool's or anything like that. Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak founded Apple Computer on April 1st, 1976. At least that's when they got the financing for it. So the company was founded on that date. Not really sure what it's all about. I would speculate, though, Steve Wozniak was a huge joker. He loved to play practical jokes and was very well known for it. He actually ran a joke line, a call-in joke line for a number of years in the Bay Area where you could actually call in. I think it was called Dial a Joke, and you could call in and get a daily joke. So anyway, maybe that has something to do with why April 1st is the date for founding Apple Computer. But no matter what the reason is, I just want to say happy birthday, Apple. So here we are. It is April 1st, and no word from Apple, no big announcement from Apple on Tiger. Are you disappointed? I certainly was. A little bummed out. Hopefully we'll hear something soon in the next couple days. But to kind of ease our pain and sorrow, I will let you know that Tiger is now officially gold. Gold Master, which means the version is out there. It's ready for reproduction. At least that's the rumor from a number of the websites out there. macOS 10.4, the build version 8A428, is supposedly the one that's declared ready for production. So, you know, still waiting on the announcement from Apple. Hopefully it will happen sometime next week. I'm waiting just like you guys are, and, you know, I'm ready. I don't know about anybody else, but I am certainly ready. I've going to get my machines backed up, everything like that. We have a listener question that came up that I'm going to be working on. I'm going to prep some sort of MacCast special, I don't know, a special edition or whatever it is, but we'll talk about how to prep your systems, what you need to do a nice clean install or have a smooth install of Tiger, I guess, is what we want to do. And of course, as I mentioned before, I will have the iRiver, and I do plan on going to some sort of launch party at one of the Apple stores when Tiger actually hits. So we'll do kind of a live interview type show, maybe sound seeing tour. I don't know what we'll call it, but it'll be a special Tiger launch edition of the MacCast. So look forward to that. So are you feeling that? Are you feeling the love that's in the air? I want to play a little special tune going out to somebody that we all know and love, and hopefully you enjoy it. So take a listen.
Here you are at last. Bring my cold, lonely soul sweet release from my weary past. Always searching one missing piece was you, and I beg you come away with me. And together we will find a place to call our own. I can't wait to see. see what I can do with a laptop like you. It's not your CD slot or the Unix on which you are based. You make my lap hot. It's underneath your aluminum case there's love. And I forgive your strange one-button mouse. I forgive the way your keyboard leaves marks on your screen. I can overlook a fault or two for a laptop like you. We will always be together in love and spite. Time through wind and weather. Heaven knows what time they bring. In a year or two, you will seem big and heavy and slow. I will carry you to wherever it is laptops go to die. Don't think it won't be hard on me. How am I ever gonna find a way to justify the money I would spend on something new for a laptop like you? Laptop like you.
All right, a laptop like you. That was sent in from a listener, Manuel. It was a track called A Laptop Like You from Jonathan Colton. Now, come on, I know there's a lot of you out there that feel that way about your PowerBook. Come on, admit it. You know who you are. Anyway, the singer there, Jonathan Colton, actually has a CD on iTunes Music Store. It's called Smoking Monkey. It doesn't have this track on it. This track's actually available from Jonathan's website. I'll have a link from the show notes. But if you go to shop.maccast.com, I have a link to Jonathan Colton's CD if you'd like to purchase that, or maybe just take a listen to it on iTunes and check out some of the additional tracks he has. But I thought that was pretty funny. Good creative little tune, and a thank Manuel for sending that to me. I hopefully everybody else enjoyed it as well. Okay, on the last show, I had some feedback to a listener who was wondering about hooking a microphone directly to his PowerMac G5, which actually only has a line-in jack, not a mic jack on it. And I had some information from Craig over at the Behind the Scenes podcast, and apparently I made some minor errors when I was reporting that, and Craig sent me an email, so I wanted to clarify a couple things. One was I had said that you needed an iMic. If you were using a mixer, that you needed a Griffin iMic to plug into the G5, and that's absolutely not true. That was just an incorrect statement. The reason I said it was I actually have an iBook, which does not have any line-in jack, so I need a Griffin iMic to hook up to the USB so that that provides a line in or a microphone in. So if you have a Macintosh that only has USB ports and does not have a line in jack like me, then you do need a Griffin iMic. But if you have a PowerMac G5 that has the line in right on it, or another Macintosh with a line in, you can just go straight from your mixer right into your Macintosh. So that's one little correction there. He also mentions in this email that if you're using an iMic, you have to use a mic with an 1/8-inch mini plug, and you cannot use a dynamic mic with a 1/4-inch plug. So depending on the type of microphone you have, that might be helpful information to you. And then finally, I had talked about another product from TV Forge called the Mic Plug. And I had mentioned that would plug directly into the USB port and let you plug in XLR microphones. And I guess I had a small error there as well. The Mic Plug lets you plug an XLR mic directly into the device, and then there's a cable with a standard USB that goes into your USB port. So just wanted to make those corrections because Craig had sent me a follow-up email after hearing that podcast. So sorry if that caused any issues for anybody. So I also mentioned in the last show that some listeners had written in and said they were having trouble getting updated podcasts from my feed using PlayPod from Egg Software, and I had asked for anybody to offer solutions. Well, I actually got an email back directly from the developer, who apparently is a MacCast listener. So, Ian, if you're listening, thanks. And he let me know that there was a new version available and that they had found a bug where some podcasts were not getting automatically downloaded when new shows were posted. So if you are using PlayPod, please make sure you have the latest version, which should be, let me just quick check of the email here, 1.0b6. So if you don't have that version, make sure you get updated, and then you should have no further issues getting the latest updates of the MacCast. And another quick friendly tip, before you do the update, please make sure that you back up your application support folder. It should be in your home directory. Then go to library, application support, Egg Software, and PlayPod. Make sure you back up that directory, and you should have no problems. The upgrade should go pretty smoothly for you, and that way you'll actually save and retain all of your current subscriptions. I want to throw in a quick reminder here. This isn't in the show notes. I'm going to go off topic a little bit, but if you haven't visited maccast.com lately, you definitely want to start going there. Now that I am on WordPress, I am updating the site much more regularly. I'm also including a lot of feedback that I am not able to put directly into the podcast. So a lot of questions are being answered there by different listeners when they send things in. And I'm just posting a lot more information there. So if you're not hearing an answer to a question on the MacCast podcast, please head over to the website and you'll probably find the answer there. It has a full search feature, so you can search on any term or topic. Mainly anything that comes in is going to be in the feedback category. So there's actually a feedback category. You can just look through there and probably find a lot of answers to things that crop up. Just what's happened is I just don't have time to cover everything that I get in on the MacCast, because otherwise we'd end up with like a 2-hour show. And even though I know some people would appreciate that, it's not something that I'm ready to dedicate to quite yet. So please visit the website and let me know what you think. All right, next up we have another listener product review. This one's from Daniel, and he's going to review the Podium Cool Pad. And I just want to say something. I've been getting some interesting feedback, or I guess some negative feedback on listener reviews. And this topic comes up from time to time. I want to do more reviews on the MacCast, and I've asked listeners to provide those for me, mainly because I just don't have access to all the products that are out and available for the Macintosh, and I know there are listeners that do. And so that's one reason I'm asking listeners to do reviews. Another reason is I think it's just a nice change. It's good to hear from somebody that actually has and enjoys the product directly, rather than you just hearing me continue to ramble on about this and that and only focusing on the things that maybe I like or have access to. That said, I've had some negative feedback from different people saying that, you know, they don't like maybe a particular person's review or particular person's presentation. And I'm just going to say that I think it's kind of what makes this show great. And it was something I tried out from the beginning, which was I really want this to be a community type of podcast where I'm not just the only one spouting my opinions. Everybody has a voice. And I think that goes for reviews as well. So I'm going to continue to do them. The one thing I do for you, if you've noticed, is I will mention the running time at the beginning. So you all are listening on MP3 players or in iTunes, you have a way to skip forward. So if you don't want to hear a review or you're not interested in a segment that comes in from a listener, I will, from this point forward, always try and tag them with how long they are, and you can just skip ahead. So, you know, hopefully that'll keep everybody happy. And you know, I think these reviews are valuable because I think it's good to hear from another one Mac user to another Mac user on which products are good or maybe which products aren't bad. So anybody else, if you'd like to do a review, please send me an MP3 audio comment. The only thing I ask is that you please try and keep your reviews. It'd be great if you could keep them about 2 minutes. This one actually runs 4 minutes and 5 seconds, but it has some commentary also in it about customer service, and I think that was important as well, so I let this one run a little bit longer. But 2 to 3 minutes, please, if you send in a review of your own. Anyway, here's Daniel with a review of the Podium CoolPad.
Hey Adam, this is Dan in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and I wanted to send you a quick user review of a product that's actually been around for a while called the Podium CoolPad by Rode Tools. It's a notebook riser that elevates the laptop to improve passive cooling. It also rotates 360 degrees and props the screen up to an adjustable height so you can optimize your viewing angle. And it provides a stable surface when you're working in less than ideal settings, like on your lap, on an airplane tray, in bed, etc. It's relatively cheap. It retails for about $30. It's very durable and really portable. And you can get a better idea of what it looks like at www.rodetools.com. So my wife and I own 2 CoolPads, and we've been using them nonstop for over 3 years without a hitch. And the first time I actually gave it a second thought was the other day when I lost a screw. So I emailed Jim at Rode Tools, essentially just asking him for the specs on the screw so I could pick up a replacement at the hardware store. To make a long story short, he not only offered to send me a replacement screw for free, he also included some newly developed attachments for the original CoolPad, and I'll come back to those at the end of this review. I then asked him if it'd be okay for me to share my story, because I wasn't sure that he would want to be inundated with emails from people asking for replacement screws or parts. And so I want to share an excerpt from his email reply to me, dated March 27th. "Sometime soon, I intend to send a press release to let CoolPad users know that we would like to fix any CoolPad problems or replace any parts. We are gearing up to handle as many fixes as requested. We've sold a lot of these over the past few years, over 500,000, so we expect to handle quite a few requests, but that's okay because we really like to keep all of those CoolPads in good working order. These things are made by very dedicated, disabled workers in the Nashua, New Hampshire area. They take pride in their work and are as eager to support the CoolPads as I am." So, Jim and his crew are inviting everyone who owns a CoolPad to let them know about any problems. I can just imagine this would be a huge number of emails with requests of one type or another that would probably yield little or no monetary benefit for them at the end of the day. And I don't remember the last time that I've dealt with a company that cares this much about customer satisfaction and the work they do. So I just wanted to spread the word on a little company with a lot of heart. In closing, the samples of the product upgrades that they sent me are really awesome. So first, there's an extension bar for wider laptops. If you're familiar with the design of the original CoolPad, there are 4 rubber-tipped caps that sit on top of 4 adjustable height posts. Well, it replaces those 4 caps with a single long bar that extends beyond the width of the CoolPad to give you an extra wide support. It was designed for the 17-inch PowerBook, but I've been using it on my 15-inch model, and it's doing a fantastic job. Or if you want to use the original 4-post support system, they have new rubber caps that have improved gripping action for the bottom of the laptop, and they work great as well. These upgrades are simple but really well executed, and I think really improve the value of the product. So even though I haven't seen any mention of the extension bar or the new caps on the Rode Tools website, Jim mentioned in his last email that these new features are included in all the CoolPads currently being sold through the Apple Store and at Staples, and a quick visit to our local Apple Store confirmed that all the CoolPads they have in stock do in fact have the extension bar and the new caps. So I would give it a strong 5 out of 5 for the product, definitely a 5 out of 5 for customer support. Thanks a lot, Adam. Really enjoy the MacCast, and keep up the great work. Bye.
Awesome. Thanks, Daniel. Really appreciate that review. And the comments on the customer service, that's just amazing, I think. I think it's a great story to hear a company that makes Mac products that is really going the extra mile on customer service. So I'm going to have a link to the CoolPad website, roadtools.com, in the show notes. I also have there a link to the product on the Apple Store, and that link is actually hooked up through my affiliate program. So if you guys do buy through the show notes, I will get a little credit for that. So great product. Check it out. I've heard nothing but great things about them. I personally don't have one, but I've had friends who have purchased them and really enjoy them. So I would say that Daniel's review is probably fairly accurate of the product, and it's well known and well respected in the Mac community. Okay, next up I have a little audio comment from Rick. Rick is on the fence, I think. He's a switcher and he wants to come over to the Mac, but he needs a little push. So I'll let you listen to what he has to say, and then we'll talk about something afterwards.
Hi, Adam. This is Rick in Ohio. I was listening to your show a while back where you had the 10 signs that you were a Mac geek, and it got me thinking about something I'd like to see. I'm not a geek, I'm a geek wannabe, and I'm strictly a PC user. So I'm wondering what kind of list of 10 that you and the listeners might be able to come up with me, 10 reasons why I should switch to a Mac. So that's all I got. Thanks a lot for the show. Keep it up, enjoying it, and take care. See ya.
Okay, so Mac Geeks, we need to get him to switch over. We need to convince Rick as to why he wants to switch, and he wants to know our top 10 reasons why a PC user should switch to the Macintosh. I quickly remembered Apple's Switch campaign, and I headed over to Apple.com to check it out because I knew they had had a top 10 list. So let me just give you Apple's top 10. Apple's top 10 is follows. 1, the Mac. It just works. 2, it doesn't crash. 3, it's a digital jukebox. 4, delivers on the promise of digital photography. 5, best solution, in fact, for all things digital. 6, built to go everywhere because that's where you'll want it. 7, the internet is integrated. 8, office is office and then some. 9, it works effortlessly with PCs. And number 10, it's beautiful. So that's Apple's top 10 list. But then I was thinking we should do our own top 10 list. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to run a little contest here. If you guys remember, I got a great iPod stand, the iPad from ThoughtOut. And you can visit them at thoughtout.biz. But they had sent me one to review, and I did a review of it. But I have it sitting here on my desk. And so I am going to go ahead and give away my gray iPad. It's brand new, just out of the box, to someone who sends in a top 10 list. Basically, the best top 10 list on the top 10 reasons why a PC user should switch to the Macintosh. So send in your list, maccast@gmail.com. And I will post all of them to the website, maccast.com. And then I will also, at the end of the time period, pick my favorite. And I'm going to give you guys until midnight Pacific Standard Time on April 30th, 2005. So you have until then to get your top 10 list in. Think about it. It can be funny. It can be serious. But ultimately, I'm just going to pick which one I like the best. And then we'll feature it on a future MacCast. And you will win an iPod stand from ThoughtOut. All right, so that's the contest. And I look forward to your entries. So on the last show, I talked about a student, or I had been talking about a student who was trying to get a new iBook, and he's worked very hard to save up the money that he needs, and I had recommended to him that he use Apple's educational discount. Well, this particular student happened to be a high school student, and another MacCast listener who was also a high school student sent me back an email saying that high school students, K-12 students, do not qualify for Apple's educational discount. And I was thoroughly shocked by this, and I asked you all to contact Apple and tell them that, you know, this is a bad policy, it's a wrong policy, And I had a listener, Brian, send in this little audio comment.
Hey, Adam, this is Brian from the, I do the BKLA podcast at bkla.blogspot.com. I was listening to the show today and listening to your comment about the educational discount, and one of the reasons that they may be doing that is because most K-12 students would not be buying their own computers, and probably to limit the number of people who would use their school-age children to obtain a discount for their own computers. I imagine that's probably part of the problem. With college students, you know, there's a good chance that they're on their own and that they're buying their own computers, so they're getting a discount. I understand what you're saying, but I think maybe that I wonder if Apple would extend a discount, you know, on a case-by-case basis to someone like the listener who's trying to get his own iBook. But I bet you that that is the reason why they don't have the discount for K-12. Thanks for the show. Keep up the good work. Hope to hear more real things.
Okay, so I hear what Brian's saying here. You know, obviously Apple has some reasons, financial reasons, why they feel that they shouldn't extend this discount to K through 12 students, and Brian's kind of speculating on maybe one of the reasons why here. I just have to say that, you know, the educational discount is only a couple hundred dollars on a system, and the long-term benefit that Apple's going to get is going to far outweigh that small, minute amount of discount, because they're going to get a Mac user early on in life, and chances are that person is going to be a Mac user for the rest of their life, like me. I've purchased, you know, a number of Macs, and I'm sure many of you have done it as well over the years. So there's no harm in, you know, maybe losing a little bit money up front, even if it's a parent buying a machine for themselves rather than a student and getting a discount. Apple's selling machines. They're making money. They're gaining market share. So I just think, you know, if they have a high school ID and they're buying the system and they're with their parent, the parent's buying it for them, go for it. You know, let them do it. Who cares? It's not going to cost Apple that much up front, and the long-term benefit is going to far outweigh any fraud that might be perpetrated. But hey, that's just my opinion. You're welcome to leave feedback at maccast.com, use the comments area for this podcast, or send me an email or audio comment. Okay, let's see here. All right, next up we have a promo. This one's from Simon Toon. He's a MacCast contributor and listener for a long time, and he is now doing his own podcast.
Welcome to the Slam Idol Podcast, the poetry slam on your iPod or other MP3 player. Over the next 2 weeks on the Slam Idol Podcast, you'll get to hear performances from a pick of the best up-and-coming performance poets. Then you'll be able to vote on the website at slamidol.tripod.com to let us know which performances you preferred the most. You'll find out how the poets feel about the votes you've cast as they let us hear their audio diaries. When all the votes are in, we'll announce who will be the winner of the first Slam Idol contest. My name is Simon, and you can find the Slam Idol podcast at slamidol.tripod.com.
So, all right. Thanks, Simon. Simon is doing a slam poetry podcast, so if you're into that, I highly recommend you go check it out. I subscribed, and I'm not even into slam poetry, but I really enjoyed the first podcast. So he's doing a really nice job, and it's something worth listening to. I will let you know, the first poem that I listened to was definitely not G-rated, so it's not like the MacCast. It's definitely not kid safe. But if you're into poetry, definitely, if you're into slam poetry, head over to slamidol.tripod.com and subscribe. Okay, so this next little comment is just a little ego boost for me. As Adam Curry would put it, boing, 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 boing.
Hi, Adam. This is Humberto. I'm from Puerto Rico. I've just been hearing podcasts for a very short time, but I love your show. For now, I'm a PC user, but you've got me thinking of changing to a Mac, so you've done a good work. I congratulate you for your show. I hear it every time. It's great, so keep up the good work. Te felicito.
All right, so you see, my plan is working for world Macintosh domination through the MacCast, converting one PC user at a time. If you're a PC listener out there, you might be next. Okay, speaking of switching, if you've been migrating from PC to Macintosh, one thing that you may want to bring with you are your Outlook contacts, your contacts from Outlook on your PC. Here's a quick review from listener Mitch. It runs 2 minutes and 12 seconds on a product that may help you do just that.
This is a special edition Switcher report. Hello, Mac Geeks, and hey, Adam. You're doing a great job. This is Mitch from Westchester, Ohio. I'm a recent switcher, but I have some early history using classic Macs, and also a 4-year defection into Linux along the way. I finally got my dream computer a few weeks ago when I got tired of waiting for the G5 PowerBook and finally bought a fully loaded G4 PowerBook. I'm still in the process of my data migration, but everything's coming along nicely. However, my first hurdle was getting my hundreds of contacts from Microsoft Outlook into Address Book. Unfortunately, Address Book only accepts vCard or LDIF when importing. Outlook will only export one vCard at a time and won't export LDIF at all. I looked around and found a program called Outpod by Oliver Storr. Adam has a link, or you can Google for it. Now, Outpod is made to do bulk exports of contact and calendar information from Microsoft Outlook to files according to the vCard and vCalendar standard. Installation is really easy. You just unzip outpod.exe into any directory and run it. Let Outpod find your Outlook databases, and then select what records you want to export, and tell Outpod to export as one vCard. You then email the vCard to yourself, and when you download the email, Address Book will automatically import all of your information and place everything in the correct fields. The only post-processing I had to do on my data was to tell Address Book which of my contacts were businesses. The whole process took me like 5 minutes. So, I hope this helps you new switchers with your data migration. I'll see you at the Tiger launch party. Now, it's back to Adam at the MacCast.
So thanks, Mitch. I think that will be helpful to a number of you who are recent switchers and were wondering about how to get your address book data from Outlook to Apple's address book. So if you need the link to that software, check the show notes at maccast.com. Okay, finally tonight, I was checking my email right before I was about to record the show, and I got an interesting question from John. John has a PowerBook that he leaves at home, and while he's at the office, he likes to access it using Virtual Network Client, which we've talked about on some past shows. And in order for Virtual Network Client to work, your system needs to be on and awake. But his wife and I guess sometimes his cleaning lady will walk by, see his PowerBook open, and actually close the PowerBook, which puts it to sleep. And at that point, he's no longer able to access it using Virtual Network Client. So he had emailed me and was wondering if I knew of a solution that would keep the PowerBook from going to sleep when you close the lid. Now, I have had a similar issue where there's been times when I had wanted to be able to close the lid on my iBook and have the system stay still running, and I have not really found a good solution for this. So if anybody out there knows of anything, please send an email, maccast@gmail.com, so that I can forward it on to John and give him an answer. And of course, I will share it with you all as well. All right, that's the show for April 1st. Sorry for the late posting. You'll actually probably be getting this on the 3rd. As always, visit the maccast.com website for the full show notes and links to everything we discussed on the show. You can leave comments at maccast@gmail.com or on our audio hotline, 206-222-2788. That's 20-MACCAST-8. Go ahead and support the show through your purchases. Go to shop@maccast.com. And then it's the beginning of the month, so I'm going to throw out my reminder. Go vote for the MacCast at podcastalley.com. The votes have reset, so you need to vote if you haven't voted this month. All right, the music tonight again is from a MacCast listener. The band is called Thinking of Pinky. The track is called Might As Well. This is a band from Canada, and the song was recorded on a G4 tower using Digital Performer 2.7. If you like what you hear, please visit the band at their website, thinkingofpinky.com, and purchase a CD. Okay, enjoy the music. Thanks for listening, and I will see you all next time.